This route allowed me to partner with professionals for distribution while ensuring my story-driven book was told exactly on my terms in my own voice.
Welcome to Angle on Writing, a podcast about writing, publishing, and book marketing. Welcome, writers. Today, I am with an author and entertainment industry mover and shaker. Welcome, Sandy Pearl.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate that.
Well, I think this is going to be very interesting. You have a book out that has a ton of stories about your life and your adventures in the entertainment industry. Why don't you give us a little bit of a synopsis?
All right. Well, the name of the book is Then the Phone Rang, My Journey from Hitchhiking Hippie to the Hollywood High Life. It's a true, but wild, cinematic, candid memoir that traces my evolution from a free-spirited, bell-bottom, patchouli oil-wearing hitchhiker to navigating the dazzling, high-stakes Cartier world of Hollywood. It offers it's entertaining. It's inspiring. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes vignettes. It's an insider's look at the grit, the glamour, and serendipity it takes to build a long career in the entertainment industry, and specifically how a woman navigates and survives a fiercely male-dominated industry without using knee pads. And because I spent 23 years in the entertainment industry, I started out answering phones and fetching coffee, to doing publicity at Atlantic Records. We've maybe heard of Led Zeppelin or Ahmet Ertegun, who was the founder of Atlantic. So that was kind of a big deal. I was 25 at the time when I started. I worked in various areas of production in film, television, commercials, and it culminated in a successful career as a producer of national commercials. I spent a lot of time mingling with very eccentric and eclectic bunch of celebrities. The book includes great stories, like going from being a hitchhiking hippie to riding in a limo with Steven Tyler and Aerosmith on their way to a concert at Madison Square Garden. I was also part of the first film crew that was allowed into Graceland to film a movie called This Is Elvis that was released by Warner Brothers. I worked directly with a lot of icons like George Burns, Betty White, Tom Bosley, Jacqueline Smith, Jack Klugman, and there's a lot of anecdotes about Bruce Springsteen, Barry White, David Geffen, Richard Branson. Maybe you've heard of some of these people.
Yeah, so you're, you know, I guess, you know, doing PR and everything and handling all those people, you know, the storytelling probably came very naturally to you.
It did, because it's my life. I knew the story. I know these people. So, you know, the writing part was easy. The cleaning it up part was a little challenging. You know, you want to make sure that if you're writing about people like that, that you're not going to get sued. You know, so you have to, you know, use your discretion and make sure you don't open up yourself to any liability. And I'd been around enough to know what would open me up to liability.
So you didn't have to consult a lawyer, or you did, or you had everything cleared, or
everybody that was in my book that's still alive, I asked permission, and if I wasn't going to get their permission, I changed their names. You know, but some of the names have been changed, not all of them. But if I knew something was going to, you know, I had a stalker and I was concerned that this person would, who had nothing but time and money, come after me. So I had to switch that part of the story up a little bit.
Ah.
But no, I did not have a lawyer. My publisher did not protect me. All they wanted to make sure was that I indemnified them. So it was on me. And I guess it worked out okay, because
Yeah.
no one's come with the cuffs yet, you know?
Yeah.
That's all right. But I also want to make sure that readers understand that it wasn't all champagne and sunglasses. Behind the glitz were real shadows, extreme lows, and major pitfalls. The book, it's also about what happens when the party stops. And you have to rely on your own grit to survive. I also like to tell people it's important to take a chance. In fact, my tagline is, if you don't take a chance, you don't have one. So my whole life has been carried along by what seems to be a series of events and taking chances, recognizing opportunities, and going for
Yeah, well, that's great.
it.
It sounds like it's a great story. And you wanted to get it out there in the world, and you wanted to have your own control over it. So you decided to go with the hybrid publishing model.
Exactly. And I chose it because I wanted to retain complete creative control over my narrative and my artwork and the release timeline, while still getting, top-tier editorial and distribution support that traditional publishers offer. But so for me, it offered the perfect balance of independence and professional backing. Forget about the thing I said about the legal, because they're not going to help you there with the legal backing. And in the entertainment industry, you spend a lot of time fighting for your voice to be heard without a filter. And this route allowed me to partner with professionals for distribution while ensuring my story-driven book was told exactly on my terms in my own voice. But we have to be real about the business side of this. Hybrid publishing is pay to play. That's the model. And because I was investing my own money, I spent serious time vetting several hybrid publishers before signing. And you have to do your research. You have to do your research. And I looked for a company that was highly selective about whose money they actually took. And you want to also make sure that you can retain 100% of all rights and 100% of any and all royalties. So you want a real partner with high standards, and not some fly-by-night company that's just going to take your cash, print the pages, and fold up the tent. So you got to put in the time to vet them. And there's plenty of scammers out there. So
What were
I.
your steps for vetting this particular company?
I just started. I was offered a few suggestions, and I Googled them. I looked them up. I talked to them. The first one I wanted was, considered the gold standard for hybrid publishing, but they had just partnered with Simon and Schuster. And although I wanted them, they told me that if I submitted my work, they wouldn't even be able to get back to me for 6 months. And if I needed to be published before summer of 26 or something like that I should just move on. And I thought that they're gone, and that wasn't even a guarantee. That's just you have to wait 6 months to see if they're even going to ask you for more pages, So I moved on to a couple more, and then I found one that looked fair and interesting and affordable. And they had a good reputation. I knew a few other people who had published books with them, and I got busy, stalking them, making sure that they were okay. I wrote a one I literally wrote one query letter that I sent out, and the woman said, "It sounds interesting. Would you like to send some pages?" And I did, and within like a week, she said, "We're interested, and we'd like to work with you." And because I trusted them, that's what happened. I mean, it's almost unheard. I mean, it's like I caught lightning in a bottle, but I did a lot of work researching it to send out one query letter, and it wasn't like Random house was fell on my doorstep. I mean, we have to
Yeah, so it
understand that.
wasn't really what other authors consider when you hear about writing a query letter. Usually, that's for requesting publication for a small press or for representation from an agent. So this is a little bit of a different inquiry. But then once they took you on, did it go pretty smoothly, or were there any bumps along the way?
Well, they were concerned. I said, how long will it take? Because my intent was to have it ready for the conference last year, which didn't happen. I said, I need it by June. And they said, well, we'll do our part. Will you do your part? And I thought, oh, they don't know me. I'll do my part. So it went, there were some bumps, but I actually had the book in hand 6 months later. But I was bird dogging them, and my manuscript was very well edited by the time I submitted it, and they made some suggestions, some I took to heart and made some adjustments, and others I said that's not that no, this you're not getting this, and they were fine, they just backed right down.
A lot of the hybrid publishers, they include a package that you could add on for publicity. And so did you take that up, or you probably didn't have to?
I did it myself. But that's just because I have some background in it. I've sort of listened to their pitches, and I thought, I think I know a little bit more than you guys do. So I'm going to just try this on my own. And I wouldn't have been opposed to having somebody help me if I needed it, but it turned out okay. So yes, they offer different packages, and there's the platinum and there's the premium, and you just see what fits your budget and what and your needs.
But you could do it yourself. So you went ahead and developed your own marketing plan and implemented it and everything. So what were those steps?
Well, so let's talk about my marketing plan and my street team, which are, my marketing plan really just focus on genuine connections with people. I knew a lot of people, and it relies heavily on word of mouth, on my social buzz, my author website. I built a website, somebody built it for me, and I did live bookstore events. I joined different social groups, and now podcasts. So I'm getting it out there myself, and I'm the one who walked right into Chaucer's and said, D "You think I could do something here?" And I didn't have anybody representing me. I represented myself, and so my street team is a grassroots network of friends, colleagues, former industry professionals, who helped spread the word on social media and generated reviews. I think I've got like 78 Amazon overall ratings, and I think 72 of them are actual pretty thoughtful reviews. So a lot of it was word of mouth, and I'm fortunate to still have some friends in the business that loved the book and just started talking about it. So it kind of took on a life of its own.
So, as you know, I've been curious about the street team concept. I haven't worked with a street team myself before. So, did you have a couple of meetings, or did you mainly just do like some group chats or anything like that? Or how did it work to have a team?
Well, I'm calling it a team, but it's really like my group of personal friends. I don't like the name drop, so I'm not going to, but I know quite a few people having worked in the industry for 23 years, so. And a lot of them were very interested in the book because they knew a lot of people that were in the book. So they just started talking about it, and it just started getting buzz. So my street team are my they're my homies, they're my friends, they're my pals. And the other thing I did is I would shamelessly hand out my bookmark, which has the image of my book cover on it and quotes from some high profile people. On the back of it is a QR code that goes right to my website. I kind of turned the act of reading into an interactive shared experience with friends who turned their friends onto it. I submitted my book to something called Reader's Favorite for a free review. I figured, why not? And this guy named Leonard Smuts gave me a 5-star review. And
Not
I
a
thought,
great name for him, but a
no.
good review for you.
I'll take it.
So that's great. I think it's so many reviews is just I think it's just awesome. And so did you when you were preparing to launch the book, we all have to get ready for that day when we know it's going to release. Did you have things you did before the launch?
I did. I started teasing it probably about 6 months. Once I got my of a firm-ish date, I started dropping like I would take a I did a little behind the scenes stuff. My book is 252 pages. It's got 63 chapters in it. It's a lot of punchy vignettes and short stories. So I would like take a picture of one of the sections and show the titles of it. I started teasing it that way. I started teasing the book reveal, the book cover reveal. I asked a couple of people, I put it out there on my Facebook saying, do you like this cover or that cover? I tried to get people engaged to get them interested in what's going on. And I also tried to pace it. I don't like to see, I wanted to keep it top of mind without shoving it down people's throats. I don't like to see too much of something, so I just really tried to pace it. Like every week I'd drop something that I thought was would get people's attention, and
Yes.
then that's kind of what I did. And I also watched I would watch things like Jack Canfield has podcasts, and I would watch him and see what he suggested to do. I don't know if you know his famous quote, but it said, writing a book and not promoting it is like having a baby and leaving it on a doorstep. So you kind of have to get out there whether you like to pr be self-promoting or not. And while I have an outgoing personality, I happen to have serious stage fright. So I thought, I gotta get over this somehow. I can't do nothing with this book now that I've written it.
But I do know that there are, I've run into people who have like they don't have stage fright. Matter of fact, that's something that's kind of missing from their from their.
Stand down.
Yeah, I know they can be a little bit too much. But you mentioned a one free review you got, and I actually do recommend to people that a few of the paid reviews can help. Did you get any paid reviews?
I did not get any paid reviews. All of mine were organic and authentic, and I was stunned when I read let's just call him Leonard, shall we? From Reader's Favorite. When I got his review back, I was just stunned. But it got me a 5-star silver seal, which I plan to put on all my books. And then I think and then I entered it. Then I did pay to enter it into a book contest. I think I paid like $89 or something, and they will an announce the winners or runner-ups in on September 1st. And I thought, well, if I just got myself a 5-star review, why not pay the $89 and see what else happens here?
Yeah, exactly. Well, good luck with that. Yeah,
Thank
and are you
you.
entering any other contests?
No, but the other things that I do, Lisa, is like when I've networked, I've met people that write for The Independent or the Montecito Journal, and just made friends with them, handed them my bookmarks, said, would you be interested in giving me a shout out if I'm going to be at Chaucer's or Chocolaty? And they did. I mean, people have been very res kind, very kind and receptive, and it doesn't hurt to have local people giving you a shout out of where you're going to be speaking. And I also, got my book in the Santa Barbara Public Library,
Oh, what
because
did you do to do that?
well, I just walked in with my book and I just talked to the guy whose name is Jace, who's like the head guy over there, and he had to look at it and see if it was worthy of being put in their catalog. And I guess he decided it was. So, it's been checked out and with holds on it ever since. And I think what happens is if enough people put holds on it, then they wind up buying it, And my feeling is, I mean, I had no delusions of being a best-selling author or making money, But to me, it's more important that 1,000 people read it than 1,000 people buy it. That's me.
Yes,
I
yeah, that's.
wasn't delusional. And in fact, when I wrote this book, I never had. I went to the writers' conference in 2024 with one agenda, and that was to meet people because all my friends were dying. And I thought I need to meet some like-minded people. So I went and with like 20 pages, handed them to a consultant with my knees knocking and my hands shaking. And I started getting some good feedback and I just kept writing. And I thought, okay, well, I'm never going to get it published. And then, wow, I got this hybrid publishing thing. And I thought, well, I'm not going to release it. And I thought, well, if I change this person's name and these circumstances a little bit. So the whole thing was sort of serendipitous that it, not unlike my life, which just kind of keeps happening, with
Yeah.
that, not that I don't have intention, but nothing like what has happened in my life without planning it. It just kept getting carried along by a series of events.
Yeah. And then this week, if this is released on Monday, so the conference, the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, has already begun, but it goes on all the way until Friday. So if
Right.
anybody is listening this week, I know we both are going to be part of Rachel Ther Sarah Thurston is
That's a
having
mouthful.
a seminar on Thursday with an author roundtable, and we're both going to be part of
Yes.
that.
Yay. Yeah, that'll be very, very interesting. We've got a great panel, and I'm interested to hear people's input on what is working for them. And I think a lot of people will greatly benefit from that particular seminar. It would be
You're
interesting.
also going to be on another panel, aren't you?
I am not Thursday is going to be actually a massive day for me because in addition to our roundtable, I'm also participating on a six-person nonfiction author panel where we'll kind of dive into the unique experience of writing true stories. And then following that, there'll be an author signing in the fireside room just adjacent to where we'll be. And I'm just looking forward to networking and absorbing, the creative energy.
And so, other than that, you'll be around, and your book will be on sale at the Chaucer's has a satellite bookstore there at the hotel that people
Yeah,
can
there'll be a bookstore, and we authors who have books have been invited to put them out there to sell and to sign and to interact with people. So I would say to your viewers, if you're ready for a wild ride from patchouli oil to the Hollywood high life, grab your copy of it. Grab your copy of Then the Phone Rang, and you can also get it on. If you can't make it to the conference, you can get it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, and locally here, Chaucer's, Teckelaudy, and the Mesa Bookstore. And just remember, if you don't take a chance, you don't have one. And you can find me in my upcoming events on my website, which is sandypearlauthor.com. That's Sandy and Peal author.com.
Well, that's great. And you've given everybody all your contact information. So I hope they go there and
All
check it out.
right.
Great. Well, thank
Thank you.
you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.